You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Mark, are you a financial advisor?
No, and I don't manage money now as I used to in the past, so I don't provide financial advice. Just write our VR Trader, Leibovit Newsletters, and I've been doing that since 1979.
So you put good information out there, and what you do with it is your business.
Correct. Thank you.
Now, we've had, some people, there was that Chinese proverb, may you live in interesting times. I think we are. How would you describe what's going on the stock markets right now?
Well, it's really a fun time if you're a trader in the market, because, and most investors probably, you know, or others may not agree, or traders, other traders might, love the volatility. I mean, absolutely love it. You know, 3,000 points up, 1,800 points down. Looking, of course, at the Dow Industrials, big swings offer tremendous trading opportunities. You know, a couple stocks, I'm mentioning names, trading in 50-point swings here the last day or so, and enable someone like myself who trades the markets to jump in and take advantage of that volatility. Even on the indexes, you know, we had talked about big break going long some of the bigger ETFs and selling them on a sharp rally and then buying them back when there's a big sell-off again. And this is all in the last few days. So a lot of trading action, but usually this volatility is a sign of a market changing direction, in this case back to the upside. So when you get these big washouts, this reminds me of the big panic, if you recall, we had around the vernal equinox, March 20th, 2020, related to the COVID event. And big swings down, thousands points down, big swing up, a couple thousand points back down again, and this 3-4-5 day pattern of back and forth, ultimately resolving itself back to the upside. So hopefully that's the same thing happening again. But just, you know, love the volatility. You know, it just a big swing, just offer big opportunity if you're able to take advantage of it. And when, and even if you're a longer term investor and you're not trading, when you see, you know, stocks come down as much as they have, even a big name like Apple Computer, you know, dropping 25%, you know, something like that. I mean, there's just so much going on. And, you know, of course, we were short crude oil. Talked about that. I think we're probably one of the few out there talking about it, just about everybody else is bullish on it. And we told you it was probably going to go to the mid-50s, which it did. It may still go into the mid-40s later. We'll see. So that was good for us because I had talked about getting short crude oil, and that worked out. Gold remained strong. You know, we stayed with the gold. You know, didn't want to mess that up with uncertainties and fear of tariffs and all this stuff. And, you know, there's geopolitical risk here. You know, you've got Donald Trump raising tariffs on China to 145%, supposed negotiations or talk with Iran. I mean, these are two potential military adversaries, you know, where suddenly we think it's an economic event, the next thing you know, it's a shooting war. So these are very, you know, treacherous times. I mean, a lot of stuff could come out of the so-called tariff event. Of course, with Iran, that's not the case as much as with China, but a lot could happen. And I was doing a little research on this. Of course, I put this in my newsletter every year, but April is a very treacherous and difficult time. There's literally hundreds of things we could talk about. But, you know, for example, I'm just going to rattle off a few of them here. You know, just April is a negative month. I mean, really what I'm trying to say to you. The San Francisco earthquake in 1906, the Bay of Pigs invasion, a Boston Marathon bombing, assassination of Abraham Lincoln, the Oklahoma City bombing, the Columbine High School massacre, assassination of Martin Luther King, sinking of the Titanic, the Chernobyl disaster, and these are just a few. And I literally have 50 things I could rattle off here happened in April, and we're in April. So, and I'm going to put this in my newsletter tonight. It's probably 100 items, and it's really breathtaking when you read it. I mean, you can't believe all these events happened this month. And of course, we had a little stock market crash here, and you know, these other things are going on with the tariffs and what's going on in Ukraine and what's going on with Iran and what's going on with China. So much could still happen this month. So, you know, we talk about May Day, you know, next month and all that kind of fun stuff. But a lot happens in this month. So, you know, it's an exciting time. I don't know how else to describe it. I mean, it's actually uplifting. You know, when you see this volatility, all these dramatic news events affecting the markets and affecting our lives, definitely not boring times. You know, if it just was the same old, you know, I guess you could say, well, I don't want stress and worry. I'd rather have the same old, but it's sort of exciting in a way that we're living through all these tumultuous economic and geopolitical events. I just, you know, it's really what life's all about. It's fun. If you can somehow, even if you're not involved, just talking about it, thinking about it, strategizing about it, but it does all affect us, you know, directly. There are impacts to all these things that are going on. And of course, if you're thinking just economically and you're thinking just about tariffs, of course, there could be some effect there financially. So it's fun times here. But anyway, summary is market sort of doing what I was expecting, you know, some negative. I talked about weakness from March until May. We have a forecast model that we put out that subscribers have paid for. It covers a lot of markets, including the crude oil and uranium and gold and everything else. But as far as stocks, Jim, we were talking about be careful, you know, in this time frame, and no surprises here.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's your outlook for gold?
Sticking with it. We're still in there in our timing service. We're just keeping our positions. I mean, you know, at some point we're going to get a shake. You know, the gold's volatile, and it could do one of those big corrections, you know, 500, 600, 700 point type thing. Could happen any time, but so far there's no clear sign of it except that it's extended. And I think what's going on in the world right now, you just got to, until there's a clear sign, there's a change of direction, you got to stick with it. And what's interesting to me is that, you know, we've talked about this a couple times already about the supposed auditing of the Fort Knox situation. You know, is the gold really there? And the whole story really quieted down here completely as if it didn't happen at all. And I think they're trying to poo-poo it. They're trying to change the subject. Because, you know, how it is. Is it just my own intuition or your gut is telling you things? And I have pretty good intuition, you know, about stuff. And, you know, I don't think the gold's there. And they're not going to let us know that. And that could help explain partially why gold's going up, because the pressure has been to go in there and audit it. And it's being dismissed, and we're not being told about it. I think the gold's been stolen from us. You know, the government spent it or used it for some other reason, for secret projects or secret deals or whatever, and they just they can't come about. This is like the JFK assassination or any of the other cover-ups the government has been involved with for decades. And even with the JFK information, they've didacted a lot of the material that came out, and it's not all there. You know, so unfortunately, we all know we can't trust governments because they just like power, and they live on power, and they like controlling people and lying to their citizens. So, but the gold play, maybe I think related to the lack of gold really being there, and I think, you know, countries around the world are concerned about the financial stability of the system, the huge debt that exists everywhere, the risk of war in Europe getting worse than it already is. You know, they're military, they're self up over there. They're trying to raise money to fight Russia, which is a hopeless endeavor, in my opinion. I think the Europeans want war because of the huge debt they're in. One way to help it expunge themselves from the debt is start a war and reset the financial system over there. I mean, there's all kinds of theories about why they're doing this, because they mismanage their finances so badly. And not everybody wants to go along with the European Union. And Italy doesn't, and I think Romania doesn't, and I think Hungary doesn't. And, you know, they have this whole set of conflicts there. So gold is becoming more desirable. And then, of course, you've got Donald Trump, and we got the discussion about trying to back our bonds and our debt with gold here. The Fed chairman here, Jay Powell, is out the door. He's going to probably be fired or relieved of his duties next year when his term expires. And so we have another gal who's a favorite of Trump's, who would probably replace Powell, and she's a big gold bug. So, you know, gold could be $10,000 or $20,000 an ounce. I mean, in the situation where we start backing our bonds and our debt, and doing it in a way to revalue it, reprice it in a way that makes sense. I mean, there really is really no limit. So it's almost like Bitcoin, too. We haven't talked about crypto, but at what price do you pay for something that's in short supply or short, that has a scarcity value? And in the case of Bitcoin, the amount out there halves every few years, and there seems to be unlimited demand for it. And now the U.S. government, under Trump, is talking about creating that Bitcoin reserve and so forth. So gold and that are both in the same type of situation where, you know, the demand and the lack of supply, or the non-existence of it in the case of the gold, perhaps with the Fort Knox story, could drive it higher. So that's long-winded response. It's gonna be volatile. There's only so much gold around unless we start retrieving gold from the asteroids, which apparently is a scientific possibility, since we've already identified asteroids or AA asteroid that's got a lot of gold on it. And I guess when and if that occurs, that could change the market, but that hasn't happened yet. So you got to stick with the gold, and this, you always hold it anyway as a hedge. I mean, I'm not changing my allocation. I'm not going to put 100% into it or anything like that, but should be stable. And silver still has a long way to go, Jim. I mean, it really hasn't caught up. And if you look at some of the other precious metals like palladium and platinum, I'm looking at the charts on these things, and they're in the cellar. And they really haven't taken off at all the way gold has. Of course, copper has been doing a bit better. But, you know, the whole resource commodity area still, you know, has a lot of upside potential there, with gold apparently so far the leader.
What's going on with crude?
As I mentioned, we were short, and I was looking for a trading target around about 55, with a possible low of 46, 47. It did get to 55, bounced off of it, and it's hanging now in high 50s. And you know, at some point, it's oversold. I'm looking at the chart, so it could bounce, but it's extremely bullish for the economy and the stock market. I mean, it's basically, you know, a high crude oil price is a tax on consumers. And as gasoline becomes cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, people have more cash in their pocket. So there's an inverse relationship between the price of crude oil and the markets and the economy. So the lower it goes, the happier I am in terms of its benefit to the stock market and the economy. So hopefully it stays down, and it should, if Donald Trump's, you know, drill baby drill actions, you know, are employed. It doesn't happen so quickly, I'm told. It takes time to get the oil out of the ground and get the leases approved and everything else. But it would seem to me there'd be downward pressure. The only thing I can think of, you know, suddenly there's, you know, an expansion of war across the planet, and demand for oil exceeds supply, and suddenly it's driven higher, you know, dramatically. But under normal conditions, which have been so far underway here in the last couple of months, it's been trending lower. So I'm going to remain a bear until I see the, you know, the reversal pattern saying that the correction is over.
What's happening on the crypto front?
They got a shakeout with the stock market. crypto is sort of a speculative investment or mechanism. When markets are running free and interest rates are low, which, by the way, interest rates have been ticking up here, which is something else we could talk about. But, when speculation is running high in the markets, crypto does better and there's more money around. And that's been not been happening here in the last few weeks. So we've gotten to a little bit of a corrective phase. But Bitcoin itself held pretty good. I mean, it hasn't made new lows since it's been 107,000. I mean, it didn't go back to the low 70s. It got to the high 70s to low mid 80s. And the other cryptos have all, pulled back. And much of the crypto future relies on the crypto reserve and the Bitcoin reserve that Donald Trump has been talking about. And legislation needs to be passed. I'm told it could stretch into the summer of 2026 before all that clears Congress, assuming it does clear Congress here in the U.S. So it could take a while, but there could be short-term surprises as well. So I'm a bull. As I see some of the cryptos getting weaker, I sort of add to my position small amounts. And I just believe that the future is going to be great. And it's not a day trading or, short-term comment. I mean, I'm in it, I guess, a good comparison would be like with gold. I mean, I'm in it for the longer term. I mean, I think you're looking at a two to five-year type situation. It could unfold a lot faster than that. But I'm in it because I think there's the world has turned toward crypto, and there seems to be a lot of the powers that be, particularly in the current administration here in the U.S., are using that as, as a hedge toward other assets, or as a balancing tool to other assets. So I would encourage your listeners, to use weakness to, pick up some of the cryptos, just a little bit of dollar cost averaging, and add to their position slowly if it does go down.
Anything on the geocosmic front we should keep an eye on?
Well, we got a full moon coming up on the 12th, okay? And on top of that, let's see here, we do have some solar activity going on right now. Let's see if I can pull it up exactly what it is. CMEs from the sun are, that's coronal mass ejections. For those that don't know, it's a massive expulsion of plasma from the sun. So according to the scientists, they say that minor G1 class geomagnetic storms are possible starting tomorrow. So apparently this coronal mass ejection from the sun is supposed to graze the Earth's magnetic field here tomorrow. So we'll see. It doesn't mean the end of the world or anything. It just means it's happening, and that's sort of what's new on the solar front. On the lunar front, you've got the full moon coming up in a day or two, which might be coincident with this market trying to form some low here, because often we get change of directions around the lunar cycles. And that's sort of the big news that I can see on the geocosmic front at the moment. Nothing else that I heard about standing out at the moment.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks for having me. Talk to you next week.
My guest has been Mark Leibovitt, editor and publisher of the Leibovitt VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Find us on X at How Street. Our popular YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.